You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman in the studio. It's day 5 of Royal Ascot. We're going to look ahead to the first 4 races there. We've also got Ayr, Newmarket and Redcar in the afternoon, Haydock and Lingfield in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark.
Good. You enjoyed Royal Ascot so far?
Absolutely tremendous, yes. And, you know, sensational riding, particularly by a certain Ryan Moore.
Yes, he's equaled the record of the modern day record of winners at a Royal Ascot festival, if you like, equaling Lester Piggott and Pat Eddery. He's had 8 now, hasn't it?
It is 8. And, you know, I said sensational, and people would say, oh, he's going over the top. But I don't think it is going over the top. I thought his riding has been masterful throughout the first half of Royal Ascot. And as you say, he's now equaled Lester Piggott and Pat Eddery's record of 8 wins at a single festival. And it'll be very disappointing for him and for a lot of punters if he doesn't actually make the record on the last 2 days. I'm sure he will. Of course, Piggott and Eddery only had 4 days and Ryan's got 5, but I think he's quite likely to do it after just 4. I mean, everything about a jockey in the right place at the right time, power in the finish, you know, and making horses that one wouldn't really expect to score win. And even then, he had a little bit of bad luck during the first few days.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, John, we're recording this before Friday's action, so by the time this goes out, he could have already broken the record.
He could indeed. Yeah. And many people will be expecting him to have done that.
Yeah, we'll take a quick look back at day 3 at Royal Ascot as well before we get stuck into the 5th and final day. We'll start with the big winner on the day, Trip to Paris in the Gold Cup, John. What did you make of that? Because that's a bit of a fairy tale story, really, isn't it?
It is a fairy tale story in a number of ways. First of all, Trip to Paris began the season really as nothing better than an average plus handicapper, and he's gradually improved when put over a longer trip, and he's been winning races, but he wasn't in the Gold Cup. And, you know, around about sort of 3 weeks ago, I'm sure people wouldn't have actually rated him as a probable winner of the Ascot Gold Cup, but connections were keen to run him. They supplemented him, I think, for $35,000. And, of course, they've got their reward. And there were a couple of people, in fact, 3, KP was one of them, who suggested the Trip to Paris would actually win the Gold Cup. I was a little bit doubtful at the time, but with hindsight, he had all the credentials to do so. He was a winner. He was full of confidence. He would act on the ground. And, of course, he would certainly stay the trip. And I think those last 2 factors were crucial, because I really did think that Forgotten Rules would win the Ascot Gold Cup. But 2.5 miles, of course, I tend to forget that extra few furlongs, Mark. It's a bit like the Gold Cup at Cheltenham up the hill, you know, the final quarter of a mile there. The extra half a mile tends to find out inexperienced horses, and probably Forgotten Rules came into that category. And then, of course, the ground, there were definitely questions about it. A tactical race. I thought Kingfisher was a bit unlucky. in that he didn't get a run.
Mm.
But Graham Lee, you've got to take your hat off. I mean, he never left the inside rail for a moment. Some people say not the great place to be at Ascot in a long-distance race, but he glued himself to the rails, and the gap came, and through it he went. And, well, there, a trip to Paris has got more trips than to Paris, in my view. It'll be very interesting to see what they do with him next.
It will, won't it? Yes. Yeah, and you mentioned Kingfisher in there. That was the unlucky one, if you like, for Ryan Moore, but he did have two Group 2 winners on the card in the shape of Kirby in the Ribblesdale, and a bit of a surprise winner in the Norfolk in Waterloo Bridge, and his other winner was War Envoy in the Britannia, so a good day for him. Time Test was one of the more impressive winners on the card, John, winning the Tercentenary in very good fashion.
I think it was a star of the afternoon, the equine star. I don't want to take the gloss away from Trip to Paris, but I thought Time Test was outstanding. And KP has always been keen on Time Test, and he said that the horse looked absolutely magnificent in the paddock before the Tercentenary, selected in the studio in a pretty unanimous way, and lived up to that reputation. And Andy Holding, of course, the great time guru, he was tweeting very quickly afterwards to point out that Time Test had done a remarkable speed figure over the final sort of couple of furlongs. And the horse won without turning a hair. And see, he showed tremendous class. I think he was the star of the Thursday. And I should be very, very surprised if he doesn't turn out to be a real Group 1 horse.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, John. We'll just mention the other winner on the card as well. Space Age won the King George V Stakes. We've mentioned jockeyship quite a bit here, and it was a good ride from William Buick for Charlie Appleby there, wasn't it?
It was a good ride, and in fact it was one of the winners that I did actually tip at Royal Ascot Space Age, and the reason why I did was because I thought he was grossly unlucky at Newbury in the race that Time Test had actually won, the London Gold Cup. Yes, he was not drawn at all well, Space Age, and William Buick was extremely good at getting him into a favourable position. And then I thought he showed what I consider to be one of the hallmarks of his riding. He is never afraid to take the race by the scruff of the neck. If he thinks his mount is going really well, he will commit him for home, which is exactly what he did quite a long way out. And although the pack were closing, there was enough left in the locker for Space Age to win. And he won it in good style. And as you say, Ryan Moore outstanding riding, Graham Lee pretty close, and William Buick showing all his excellence there on Space Age.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject of jockeys, Frankie Dettori's 51st win at Royal Ascot as well, wasn't it, on Time Test, so we probably should mention that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And a very smooth success indeed. Mm. He had the horse going really well, beautifully balanced, and produced him at exactly the right moment.
Yeah, so that was day three. We're in the midst of day four, and we're going to look ahead now to day five. We'll get Lord John Budden's best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
First race we're going to look at is the 2:30 on the Saturday. This is the Chesham Stakes, which is a listed race over seven furlongs. This one is for the two-year-olds. Who stands out to you in there, John?
It's always a tricky race, I think, the Chesham mark. I've got sort of three or four horses I thought would go fairly well. A Red Artist is the first of them. Quite a story that would be, of course, if Red Artist were to win at Royal Ascot, because he's trained by Simon Crisford and he's going to be ridden by Frankie Dettori. Very close connections, of course, with Godolphin in the past, and it would be a feather in the cap of Simon Crisford were Red Artist to score. Impressive winner, I thought, in his only previous outing at Newcastle, and could improve quite significantly on that. Then we have another interesting little story, really. Bally Doyle. One can't help but feel that connections have been reserving this name for something fairly special. And Bally Doyle, of course, trained by Aidan O'Brien, with that man Ryan Moore in the saddle. And if she is going to prove really special, then an improvement has got to take place on the only previous outing at the Curra, when actually a fairly modest fourth of seven. And I think Ballydoyle will improve, but whether it'll improve quickly enough or far enough to win the Chesham is open to doubt. Mark Johnston can never be dismissed at Royal Ascot, or indeed in any high-class race, and he runs Desert of Life quickly, only 6 days after that horse had scored at Doncaster. It wasn't a great race, and perhaps Desert of Life will have to improve a bit. And then finally, of course, we've got Wesley Ward with an entry here, and a very, very interesting entry, Love the Kitten. I say interesting because, in fact, second twice, over four furlongs at Keeneland, four furlongs at Woodbine. Will he stay the seven? Well, Wesley Ward has got a tremendous reputation, and he really is good at getting his horses to do things which people don't expect. Wears blinkers for the first time. Anything might happen with Love the Kitten. I'm going to go there for Red Artist.
Okay, Red Artist for Lord Budden in there. Just with what you were saying about Ballydoyle as well. Aidan O'Brien's runners, some of them have needed the run this season, so I expect her to be better. And the fact that they've chosen to name her Ballydoyle, that must mean something.
It's got to mean a lot. It really has, hasn't it, Mark? And as you say, she probably needed the race. And in fact, it was at a time that Aidan O'Brien's horses weren't going particularly well. So we must expect considerable improvement from Ballydoyle.
Okay, the second race we're going to look at is the 3/5. This is the Wolferton Handicap. It's a listed handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older, and the unbeaten Marsoub heads the market, being backed as well from 5/2 into 2/1. It's 7/1 for Collaboration. First Flight is 8. 10/1 for Arad and Provenance. 12/1 for Nice of You to Tell Me and Mount Logan. And 14/1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll start here with Marsoub, John, because the unbeaten record remained intact after that success at York last time, and for a long way in the race it didn't look likely. It came from out of the clouds really to win.
Yeah, showed a tremendous amount of acceleration and speed inside the last furlong, and the right attitude. Looks a very determined, tough individual. 3/3, winners at Kempton, winner at Newbury, and as you say, a scintillating winner, really, of that very tough and highly competitive handicap at York. A Master of Finance was the second horse in that race, and there were a number of other highly regarded handicappers, so you can't say it was a fluke, or that it was a poor race. It wasn't. And I fully expect Marsoub to justify the selection. Will be the choice. A couple of others just quickly worth mentioning. I like Firefighting. He's a grand horse for Mark Johnston. Paul Mulrennan has got on really well with this individual. He probably needs to step up to win this contest, but he won't be far away. And the other one I like is Collaboration, who's been well backed here for Andrew Balding and David Probert. Much improved from a wind operation at the beginning of the season, but has scored really well at Windsor and at Chester, and he's also won at Epsom, so he's a really versatile individual, could go well, but I'm with Marsoub after that York win.
Marsoub for Lord Budden then in the 3/5. Moving on to the Hardwick Stakes next, which is at 3:40. This is a Group 2 over a mile and a half. Last year's winner, Telescope, heads the betting at 6/5. 100/30 for Eagle Top. Postponed is 7/2. 8s for Snow Sky. 12/1 for Hillstar. And it's 20/1 or bigger prices for the others. Is it going to be a second success in a row here for Telescope, John?
I think it will be, Mark, yes. This is a race which I'm not particularly great at stats, but it certainly occurs to me that it is a race that tends to have been dominated by horses from Sir Michael Stout's stable over the past decade or so. However, just quickly looking at one or two of the others, Eagle Top is a decent individual, was extremely good last year, really, has only run once this season, but it was, my goodness, a good race. He was a close fourth to just over 2 lengths behind in the Brigadier Gerard, and after the race both John Gosden and Frankie Dettori said that the horse probably needed that particular outing and would improve. So if you're an Eagle Top supporter, then you will probably think he's got a decent chance. I think the betting suggests that Luca Cumani's postponed will go fairly close as well. Postponed has been knocking at the door throughout the season. It would be no great surprise to see him actually score. And there wouldn't be, of course, a dry eye anywhere at Ascot if Red Caddo were to win the contest. I don't think he will. I think it will be Sir Michael Stite who will score. Hillstar will need the outing, I think, first time out. Snow Sky's the question mark horse. Beat Brown Panther really well in the Yorkshire Cup and, was highly rated last year. Pat Smullen rides, but I'm to go with Telescope. I've always loved Telescope. I think he's been underrated by a number of people throughout his racing career, but he's a high-class horse, won this race in really good style last year, scored at Newbury very impressively in his outing just recently, and he'll be tuned up right to the spot for a second Hardwick.
Would give Sir Michael Stout another success. You mentioned that he's got a good record in the race. He won it last year with Telescope. He won it with Sea Moon in 2012, Harbinger in 2010. He won it a couple of times with Marahel in 2006 and 2007. So he's got a very good record in the race.
Well, I said I thought the stats suggested he ought to go very close, and hopefully Telescope will give him another consecutive winner.
On to the big race of the afternoon then on Saturday, the 4:20. This is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. It's part of the British Champion Series and the Global Sprint Challenge. It's a Group 1 contest over 6 furlongs. Field of 15 here, and the market headed by Brazen Bow, who's 11-4. Muster Jeeb is 9-2, 8-1 for Due Diligence, 9-1 for Undrafted and Wongina. Tropics is 10s, Glass Office is 14s with Movie Star, 16s for Pearl Secret, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. An international flavour to the race there, John.
Yeah, very much an international flavour. I'll just go very quickly. The two that obviously have been very well supported in the market, Muster Jeeb and Due Diligence, are both of those I think will run extremely well. And it will be no surprise at all to see either of those two actually run out the winner. The Australians have a pretty good record in this particular sprint. And it's interesting that Brazen Bow is in fact the market choice of their two. I don't know a great deal about their ability on the international scene, but obviously the Aussies consider that Brazen Bow will go pretty well, and I wouldn't be that surprised to see Wongina also up there fighting it out towards the end of the race. There is an American runner as well, and there are all kinds of Irish and English challengers desperate to keep the prize at home. I mentioned Muster Jeeb and Due Diligence already. Again, there will be quite a few tears of delight if Gordon Lord Byron were to come back from the wilderness and to win this race. He has been a grand sprinter over the past sort of 3 or 4 years, but it does seem as though he might just be losing the plot very slightly at the moment, unplaced at the Curragh and not a very happy experience at Sha Tin before that. So what about the home brigade? Well, I was quite impressed with Tropics and Lucky Cristal at Windsor last time out. They've got to step up quite a bit, but it would be great if George Margeson's Lucky Cristal could come back and win again. Wasn't able to stay the mile for the Classics last year, but back sprinting looks very much as though she's back to her two-year-old days. So a possible outsider there. The one I like, in fact, is 16-1, and that is Pearl Secret. David Barron trains Pearl Secret, a really good winner of the Temple Stakes. He wasn't given quite the praise I felt that he deserved for winning that race, and then he ran fourth in the King's Stand. Now, again, I think the stats show that horses who have either won the King's Stand or been placed in the King's Stand and then go on to run in the same year in the Diamond Jubilee very often go well in the latter. So I'm going a bit out on a limb, and I'm going for Pearl Secret to win the Diamond Jubilee for David Barron.
Let's just have a quick summary, John, if you'll spin us through your selections for day 5 of Royal Ascot one more time.
Yes, in the 2:30, I'm going for Simon Crisford's Red Artist. In the 3:05, probably the nap of the four, Marsoub, to win his fourth race in a row. In the 3:40, Telescope to win a Hardwick for the second consecutive year. And out on a limb with an outsider in the Diamond Jubilee, that is Pearl Secret.
Superb. Good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden on Saturday's racing at Royal Ascot. You'll hear it all on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman will be the team in the studio. We'll also be hearing from Ken Pitterson live in the paddock for us at Royal Ascot, and we'll get the thoughts of Jim McGrath and Frankie Dettori and AP McCoy along the way as well. Go to williamhill.com and look on the home pages. You'll see all of those videos. But for all the action live as it happens, make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and enjoy day 5 of Royal Ascot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.